Hello, this is Guillaume Veillette, the editor of Radio for Nintendo, and what you are about to hear are 11 segments chosen by certain backers for our fan episode 400. Just our favorite clips, and because they're kind of, you know, you kind of need some context, so I'm going to try to provide it to you in this introduction. The second segment is from episode 106, and it is kind of a prescient vision of what Kid Icarus would turn out to be. Then we have episode 50, where it's basically the opposite of that, with Carl describing a game that may already exist. And then we move on to kind of what I call the revenge segment, where we have in the episode 104, which is the corrections to episode 103. And then we have a segment from episode 264, where the team gets their revenge on Johnny for not including them in an N64 episode. Then we move on to discussion of specific games. We've got episode 293, then 354, and then we have some Greg moments. So there's episode 280, and then there is episode 374, and then get your tissues out for the farewell to Greg in episode 291. And so the reel is bookended with musical performances, so please enjoy.
Here we go! Here we go! So they're finally here, performing for you. If you know the words, you can join in too. Put your hands together if you want to clap as we take you through this funky rap. Huh! Donkey Kong, he's the leader of the bunch. You know him well, he's finally back. You kick some tail. Huh! Donkey Kong! He's cooking a gun, can fire in spurts. If he shoots ya, it's gonna hurt. He's bigger, faster, and stronger too. He's the first member of the DK crew. DK, huh, Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong is here. He has no style, he has no grace. This Kong has a funny face. He can handstand when he wants to and stretch his arms out just for you. Huh. Just like a balloon, this crazy Kong just digs this tune. Hey, DK, DK, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong is here. Huh. He's back again, and about time too. And this time, he's in the mood. He can fly real high with his jetpack on. With his pistols out, he's one tough Kong. Huh. He can make you smile when you hear his tune, but Crumbins beware, cause he's out after you. Finally, he's here for you. It's the last member of the DK crew. This Kong's so strong, it isn't funny. Can make a Kremlin cry out for mummy. Seems such a breeze. He may move slow, he can't jump high, but this Kong's one heck of a guy. Huh. Melons, oranges, and corn. Okay.
Well, I mean, the other, let's run down the other open secrets. Supposedly Kid Icarus from Factor 5.
I'm not feeling that. I'm sorry.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? What in what sense do you mean, James? Do you not feel that it turns out that it would be good or that it does exist?
I don't think it exists. It doesn't match with what Ekbret's been saying.
You're talking about Ekbret talked about using the pointer a lot as the leverage, a game leverage on the pointer that would be more accessible. You think a Kid Icarus game doesn't fit into that kind of mold?
Can't
it fit into anything the hell it wants at this point? It's just a property. I mean, it's not a franchise. There hasn't been a game since World on the original Game Boy in the early 90s, I think.
They
can make it whatever they want to make it.
I just don't feel like it sort of fits that mold in a game that's leveraged completely on a point. I mean, the property doesn't seem to really fit that mold.
And I don't think necessarily that something that's leveraged on the pointer so heavily, as Ekbret has intimated, need be some completely uber-casual game.
But he sort of implied that it's going to be a pretty casual game.
Well, I think the implication was more about accessibility.
Yeah. But that's not that what, that's not what Kid Icarus is. Cumbersome... Kid Icarus is a notoriously inaccessible game.
But like I said, I just don't understand how that's that. I don't see the way the 8-bit game was as such a constraint on what they, if they are, and it is a bit of a curious decision, revitalizing this property. I don't really see the 8-bit game constrains it so much. I mean, look, if you took a lot of series and just went back to their 8-bit, they were all really hardcore.
Metroid.
Tough, even the original.
But
yeah,
but
I mean, the original Metroid is very, very tough.
But Kid Icarus was like the most hardcore of the hardcore.
Yeah, but there's only been two in the series.
I just don't see how it has that much of a bearing on what they're going to do with it. I agree. Look, I don't think that we're going to be in a situation where any game that's got Kid Icarus, the Kid Icarus property attached, is going to be as casual as say, Wii Music, which I'm expecting to
do. The thing is with Kid Icarus, I just think that kind of like the Kid Icarus character reboot in Brawl, I don't think that's an accident. Because it really seems to me like the same thing they did with like the
Fire Emblem Boys.
Well, no, the Kong Country games, like all of those, like how they completely
in terms of a new design of the
character. Like a brand new design of the character that you know, possibly other third parties that, you know, or second parties, whatever you have, you know, can take that kind of character design and run with it and use it for their own stuff, you know. I think just also in terms of the pointer stuff, I mean, don't forget that if they do indeed go with the Brawl kind of character reboot for Kid Icarus, that he's going to be attacking with a bow and arrow. So that's easily, you can easily make that into a pointer.
That doesn't work, though, because the whole premise of Kid Icarus is not just the bow, but the fact that he has fucking wings. And the pointer works well from first person. But that sort of like flight via wings has never worked particularly well from first person.
But I mean, you wouldn't necessarily even have to have. You could easily have it as a platformer, so, and have him fly for only a short amount of time.
But I have a game that's probably a little less niche than Johnny. It's probably more niche than Mike's too. Basically, I'm a big fan of like treasure shooters. So, I always wanted to have something like that where it's in like a third person 3D game, but that's hard to do because you know it's hard to take that. Because you have so much control in a treasure game that it's hard to put into 3D because of the camera and such. So I figured On Rails. So it's an On Rails game where you've got your Wiimote as a gun, or if you'd like as a sword for like up close combat. Basically, enemies are constantly flying at you, and the goal of the game is to basically escape the level alive.
Have you played Sin and Punishment?
I haven't.
I think somebody already stole
game?
Your idea.
Except without the sword.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, I want Sin and Punishment sequel. That's my dream game, then.
Well, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Or I want to come to...
Sin and Punishment is a treasure game, in fact, so...
Yeah,
it is.
Exactly.
Damn you, treasure!
Like, in Sin and Punishment, you're pretty much always running forward, so it is on rails, but you can also move from side to side to a certain extent, and you can jump. Uh-huh. So you're always moving forward, but you can also dodge things left and right, and then jump and shoot in there. And you also have actually guns and a sword for up close combat.
Oh.
So they've totally raped your idea, Carl. I'm sorry.
Wow.
You should import a copy for your N64.
Yeah.
I should. And this is why I'm the host of the show, because I obviously know all about this.
That was great. I can't believe you just described it.
It shows just what a good idea it is, though. Yes, since this was a hot topic, I wanted to give you guys a list of the free game systems I have received for working at this website. A PlayStation 2, that was a gift from Billy.
That was a personal gift, though, right? Wasn't it? Or did it actually?
It was a personal gift,
so
yes.
That didn't actually come from the site itself, because he probably got that for something else, right?
At the time, Billy and the site were pretty much the same thing. So... It wasn't for work purposes. It was a thank you present for all my hard work. But this was several years ago. So PlayStation 2, a GameCube debug, GBA SP times two. Yes, I got an import one when it first came out in Japan, and I reviewed it. I'm pretty sure I reviewed it. I definitely reviewed a bunch of games on it. And then when Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles came out and I had to review that, I requested that Nintendo send us an extra one so I could do multiplayer.
Wait, and that worked?
Yeah. They published it.
Nintendo, I need an extra Wii Remote so I can fully experience whatever the hell next game I'm reviewing.
Okay. An original Nintendo DS, which there were pictures of me on the website of me, like, licking the touchscreen. You guys
remember? Oh, that's inappropriate.
Yeah. A Nintendo Wii.
What? You got it for free?
Yes.
Yeah, this was on the podcast.
I also reviewed Twilight Princess by the day it was released.
Yep. Yeah.
No, so I wouldn't say for free. I was up playing that game until 3 in the morning during finals exam week.
Ooh.
But yes, I didn't have to pay for it with money.
With
only
blood and treasure.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad that I'm almost upset that I forgot to mention the there's a million of them while Stan was on here. But
and finally, Nintendo DS Lite times 3.
Times 3?
Yes.
So that was
technically
actually,
I'm on my 4th DS,
DS Lite
total right now.
Just for kicks.
Okay, so the first one...
It disappeared into the void.
Excuse me. The first one...
Light
was,
and fire with them.
Was the first one... Hey, listen now. The first one was an import system that was blue. I didn't like the American colors, so I got a blue one through, I think, Lixang at the time. When we got an American black system from Nintendo, I had them send that to me, and then I sent my blue one to someone else. I don't remember who it was. By the way, my original Fat DS, I sent to Carly when I got my first DS Lite. So both of those were passed on. And then the black one I lost just a couple months ago, as I've reported on the show. And so we had the American blue one. Well, it was blue and black. It's the Brain Age 2 color or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's the top half is blue, the bottom half is black. So we had that one from Nintendo that had been sitting at Pale's office for like 2 months. And I asked if that thing had ever been sent out to anyone. They said, No, we've still got it. And I said, well, what are you keeping it for? They said, we were kind of hoping we could do a Mario Kart Wii tournament. And I said, look, I've told you guys this before, but that is totally impossible. It's just not practical with the friend code set up and everything, and lag and cheating and various factors. It's really not reasonable to do a tournament. And I wasn't saying this out of self-serving. I've told them this before, and they had kind of, at the time, ignored my advice and then waited 2 months trying to figure out a way to do it properly. And I was like, yeah, you're not gonna, because you can't do it.
Well, yeah, it was the kind
and
of
so
deal
said,
where, like...
They said, well, yeah, you're right,
yeah,
we'll
I mean,
send it to
Johnny
you.
Johnny would bring it up, and I'd be like, yeah, okay, that sounds cool. And then nobody else would reply to it, and so nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
You know,
running a tournament like that is a nightmare. A nightmare. And, It's not feasible with the current online system that they have. So, my follow-up comment to that list of systems is, if any of you feel like I've wasted any of these systems, please let me know. And I will refer you to a list of articles on the website.
Well, I've still got my original launch
point
GBA
and
my launch
Jonathan.
DS, so...
Might I refer you to my 100 reviews on the website? Thank you very much. Good day, sir.
But for this week, I thought, well, let's look at it. Johnny's out. It's episode 264. A few weeks ago, it was the 15th anniversary of the Nintendo 64 in the United States. So what better time to have a feature discussion on the future of the 3DS given smartphone gaming's rise, I think.
I will fucking kill you in your sleep. In your
All
sleep.
All right, let's talk about it.
You're a much shorter flight, Lindemann. And I know where you live.
Just seems like a topic that's not been covered adequately in recent episodes that we need to get to. I kid, of course, we are going to do an N64 show. And now, this might seem like, to some of our newer listeners, some sort of completely unextraordinary thing. But in fact, there is a big backstory to this that our faithful listeners are...
You mean a big backstabbing in this?
that maybe all those that have gone back to previous episodes will be able to guess what's gone on here. So back in episode 89.
Wow.
So if you can believe it, it's 175 episodes ago.
Never forgive, never forget.
Shortly after the current team, the four of us, had taken over running of the show. Johnny wanted to do an N64 episode, but he didn't want to do it with us. so he was very fair. You have to say that. He was very fair because he kicked all three of us off for three different people. He didn't play favourites. And so we recorded with the founder of our website, Billy Berkhammer, a recent guest and Retronauts favourite, Chris Kohler from Wired.com's Game Life, and Evan Birchfield. So that was, you know, the lineup.
One of these four is not like the other. Who called in sick for that one?
So that was the lineup we were left off, despite however much love we had for the N64. It didn't matter. Johnny was resolved to do it that way, and he did. And that, you know, it's a good episode. I could certainly invite anyone.
Bear in mind that when we were told we're doing an N64 episode, we were like, yeah, and then he's like, but not with you guys, and
we're like oh wow. All right.
But the James back in those days, of course, was the editor before I was, and yes, he still had to edit it. It didn't matter that he didn't take
it. Still had to edit it, and I made sure it was the roughest edit I ever put out.
I thought, like, well, you know, if he's going to pick one of us, it almost has to be James, doesn't it? Because, you know, the guilt factor. That did matter. They still didn't get on. So that was that, you know, and it's festered as a wound ever since. And so now, with this conjunction of factors, I thought we've got to set the record straight. We've got to put this behind us by doing our own N64 episode. It's kind of like a month late for the 15th anniversary, but never mind. That the N64 was full of delay, so it's only really appropriate.
to be fair, if it was going to be really appropriate, you would then announce after New Business we're not doing that segment.
Well, you could still do the smartphone gaming thing if you want. Still on the table.
I will rack up enough frequent flyer miles taking both of you out. Don't challenge me.
That's the thing, though. I think here we do have the dream team, though. I think we can all agree on that, finally.
Oh, we do. Dream team.
But first, it's new business, and James has... Actually, this is what I love, James. While most of America, many of our listeners are playing Xenoblade right now this summer, you are instead playing Disaster Day of Crisis.
I am playing Disaster Day of Crisis. So I had a friend over last week, and we were playing this game, and we concluded a couple things. One, it's going to be really shitty to play this game by myself because it's not nearly as fun without a second person there. Just to marvel in how terrible this really is.
I was going to say to laugh at it.
So one person is busy trying to shoot the terror. Oh, let's speak of the terrorist quickly. So after he loses his friend, he quits the International Rescue Team, which is a very important sounding organization, if you ask me. Incredibly important sounding. He quits that because...
Yeah, he kind of goes rogue, right? Like, he just kind of loses his mind and he's sort of like...
He gets invited to join, like, the Special Investigations Bureau. Again, a very important-sounding organization.
Yeah, he kind of quits the band. It's not about the music anymore, so...
Basically. But before... before his buddy dies, he gives Ray his pocket watch to give to his kid sister, which basically tells you immediately that dude is going to die.
Yeah.
Like, in case I don't make it, give this to my sister... Mind you, at this point, all
my sister, who's really hot,
he does say
no
that,
idea where
actually.
That story is gonna go.
He basically says, "Yeah, she's really attractive and really smart." But at this point, he gave him his watch to give to his sister with like a twisted ankle. He hadn't even gotten close to falling into the lava yet. It's like, game, come on, show some tact here. Don't show all your cards in the first hand. So, you know, A, the sister's fucked. Because this dude is really fucked. So, 6 months later, random ocean cities being evacuated from the west coast from a hurricane that's going northeast. I mean, it was going northwest. Excuse me. I turned to the person I was playing with and I went to her. So, they're on the east coast then.
What a freak hurricane.
Wait, James, are you certain that you're in the northern hemisphere?
Yeah, they're on the east coast of... I mean, they're on the west coast of North America. So the storm was going west, headed towards a west coast city. I'll let you think about how that's going to work out, because apparently that hurricane's coming from fucking Omaha. But... So the city's been evacuated, but apparently it's also full of terrorists who are former members of a special forces team that vanished.
Aren't they always?
Because, fuck, I don't know. So they're called Surge, which led to Herc making lots of Lieutenant Surge references, which was incredibly obnoxious. So this special forces team vanished on a mission...
They've apparently kidnapped a seismologist 3 months ago, and that seismologist's assistant just happens to be Ray's dead friend's hot sister. Just coincidence. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, Ray has not given her the pocket watch yet, despite it being 6 months later, and he was completely unaware of the fact she had been kidnapped, so his dying friend's request to look after her really did not go to heart, apparently. So he now decides to take it on himself to go in there and rescue her, because they found them. They're in this warehouse. So an entire SWAT team unit gets annihilated by these former Special Forces guys. Oh, keep in mind, everyone's wearing the same uniform, which makes shooting incredibly difficult.
They're very organized, James.
This is stupid. But basically, I've killed about 800 members of Surge, and they're still coming, which means this is the biggest Special Forces unit ever. Apparently, it's the entire U.S. Special Forces have gone and vanished. I don't know. But so they've got the seismologist and Ray's hot dead friend's assistant sister. And basically, they've got this machine, and like, it's almost ready, and then there's an earthquake. So presumably, Ray's dead friend's hot sister and her old creepy boss are making earthquakes for terrorists.
This sounds like a real day of crisis.
This is a big day of crisis. So Ray then proceeds to go through the ruined town rescuing people because he was a member of the International Rescue Team. Meanwhile, he is killing hundreds of people from former Special Forces units. Hundreds. Literally hundreds. With a handgun.
It's a disaster.
Hundreds of them at a
time. Unmitigated disaster.
This was the first time that I played Spin the Bottle, Bumpy's Party. There's none of the action is actually on the TV. All the instructions are on the gamepad. If you do turn on the TV, all you get is this weird picture of really strange and all strangely phallic creatures just like sailing or something and making gurgling sounds.
That's the bump in Bumpy's Party.
Yeah, basically.
Bump and grind.
Not all the games have you touching other people, which is, it's nice to get a break.
There's a soundbite for you.
There are games where you have to, like, the people who are not playing have to hide Wii remotes somewhere, and, while the other people... not... hide them in the room, John.
Not internally, John.
Hide them in the room, somewhere in the room.
Hide the Wii remote internally.
It's Guillaume full of grace.
And you can go in the settings and turn off certain activities if you're like, wow, I'm never doing that again.
I feel like the game should just decide, oh, you don't want to play that? Guess what you're playing exclusively.
It was pretty fun, but I got to say, like the first night that we played this, like I was at the end, we're just like, I don't think we're drunk enough for this. And much later in the weekend when everyone was... yeah, had let go of their inhibitions, it was much easier to play this game. So, I don't know, like, who, how, I don't know if I should recommend this game or not. Like, it was kind of fun, but at the same time, it was kind of, wow, I would never play this with, like, you guys. You know,
yeah,
like,
What do you mean?
You have to really know the people.
We're very close friends.
Yeah, John, but would you waltz with me? Would you slow dance while looking at me intensively?
I feel like if you
want to
play
eyes.
This game with people, you have to tell them if you're on a registry.
It's, probably.
Yeah. So it sounds like you should buy this game when you're drunk.
Yeah.
Play it when you're drunk, mm-hmm. and then maybe get so drunk that you forget you ever played it.
Yeah.
I think that's actually
it's like a one-night stand of a game, right? It's like basically just have that game do the walk of shame the next morning.
So much like Enjoy Your Massage.
Well, I mean, the trick obviously is after you hide the Wii remotes, you have to go through airport security. So,
what else is there to say about it? I just like it really depends.
Nothing. Yeah, there's nothing else to say.
I guess it really depends on the kinds of parties that you guys want to host in your home.
What kind of
party? Don't throw this on us.
I mean, did your group enjoy it, or is this something that they would want to play again?
I don't know. I think it really depends.
Are they avoiding eye contact?
It seems like important information since you can't really play it by yourself, right?
Yeah, it's like,
no one
stop calling you.
No one, it's not like they left in a hurry after that, you know, and I don't think...
Well, no, you have to sober up first.
and no one has started to shun me yet, so...
they're screening your calls? That's probably a bad sign.
Yeah.
It's hard to leave when they've been slipped a Mickey.
But yeah, like, I think...
Jesus, John!
When they've been slipped a Bumpy, you mean.
But yeah, I think it's really, like, if you want to play this with people that you really know, or perhaps, like, with you know, with children, this could be a really good game. Like, they'll love, you know, searching for the Wiimote, and depending on where you hit it.
They'll adore the innuendo.
Or if you have the kind of parties where everyone just, all the guys drop their keys in a bowl, and then the ladies pick a set.
Whoa, wait, what?
I think it's called a House of Cards party. There's a good video song about that.
All right, let me resize this so I can see all my notes, because I might not do them in order. I'm kind
of all
treating,
of them in
treating
order.
This like retroactive comments almost. Just something to sample from.
John is something to sample from.
Mm. He's a cornucopia.
Me? You're talking about me?
Where the fuck were you during that whole conversation?
I was like, all right, yeah, I mean, I'm bountiful. I'll give you that. I've been described as a feast, but...
For the eyes, primarily.
I just assumed it was a hip-hop gag.
No.
Oh, there's definitely gag involved. Hey-o!
Oh, God. That's good. That's on tape.
Monsieur Wiener Wink writes... Jesus. Just gonna let
I didn't write this letter, I promise!
Winking with one eye, most certainly.
Shut up!
All right, you don't want to turn this into the bloody perfect dark theater again, do we?
Anyway, oh, God.
Completely agreed on Steel Diver Subwars. It was nothing to get too excited about, but it might be a nice second tier 3DS download title along with the underachieving Dylan's role in Western. Two but Dylan mentions in one episode. Very good.
Only on this show.
I did appreciate that Subwars came out of the blue, if you'll pardon the pun.
I will not.
And if you won't, get ready to not pardon a lot of the rest of this letter. If Nintendo keeps working on these secondary and tertiary franchises and allows them to be stealth hits, their quality will gradually rise, so hopefully more such titles will surface in the coming months. Who knows, if they keep improving, that people could be going nuclear for them in a few years.
I am going to drink myself.
And it makes me more excited about these Nintendo Directs to know that they're going to end with something that is suddenly available like this. You could say that they are homing in on a winning formula for these Directs.
Just no.
This is golden.
God. I'm gonna smother myself with a pillow while you finish this email.
Oh, come on, bring it on.
Maybe we should just end it right there, Greg.
Hold on, paragraph.
I don't really want to talk about Animal Crossing. I'm serious.
I'm glad you engaged in what is effectively guerrilla warfare with the English language. Screw your question.
That's podcast terrorism, Mr. Wink, and I do appreciate it very much.
I wonder if that's his real name.
Yeah, if that is your...
It's Werner, thank you. He's general.
Having had to deliver that, I'm going to exile myself from appearing on this podcast for at least another 6 months. So it's his fault. It's his fault. Not mine.
It's all your fault.
This is not my doing.
For me, it's sort of the loss of this. With you leaving the show, I feel like we're losing like a vital organ that makes the whole thing work. And it's really difficult to imagine what the show is going to be like, because we don't know. I mean,
yeah.
just like you said earlier, that you can't, with a straight face, say what life's going to be like in your post-RFN world. We really don't know what RFN's going to be like in the post-you. I mean, this group has only existed as this group. And for me, it was always your role to keep the gears from grinding each other down into what could have been a bloody mess any number of times. Because there were more than enough times that I was ready to go at John at any point and just blow up on him. And it was always good to have you there as this sort of amazing salve with the ability to just utterly belittle or utterly encourage or do anything in between. And just inject something into the conversation that made it work again. And just having a person there whom, over the course of 4 years, even though I've never even met you in person, became one of the people that I most closely regard as my friends, was really, really amazing for me. And beyond any content you provided to the show, I'm worried that your contribution to the group outside of what anything anybody ever heard is what we're going to lose the most. I mean, there was nothing quite like every Sunday. One of us, probably me, because the Redskins were always on early and on the East Coast and terrible, started up an email thread commiserating the fact that our three football teams suck.
Yep.
The Falcons have been to the playoffs most of the years we've been doing this. Don't join in with us, John.
His email usually turned into the Falcons suck, not ours.
Yeah, that's true.
But there was not a goddamn drop of sympathy coming from either of these two. And I wouldn't have had it any other way. And it's that relationship that I'm going to miss the most.
You're going to miss it. Think about me. Who else am I going to talk about American football with?
You have a valid point, sir.
Indeed.
Yeah, that's the thing. For me, it's much the same thing with the games, though. You know, I've got a lot of my life. You know, I played a lot of games and thought a lot about them. Didn't have a lot of people to talk to them about, especially, you know, on a deeper level.
Right.
And so that was really, you know, what was always appealing about listening to RFN. You know, I was just a listener for a long time, back when Evan and Mike were doing it, and then when Carl and Stan came along and so forth. And so, you know, I kind of got to participate vicariously and then ultimately not vicariously. And that's what has been really special, is just, you know, being able to talk about this stuff that I have thoughts about. You know, that for me, that's all I have, is just someone that didn't talk for ages, and then when he did, he wouldn't shut up. That's basically what's happened. And, you know, so it's going to be tough going back to the way things were in that regard, I think. I really couldn't have asked for any more. Who knew, you know, well, what was going to happen originally? But, you know, you've always been absolutely outstanding, sterling people to work with. And, you know, obviously I talk about editing a lot of stuff out and all this, but there's a lot of really great commentary that comes out, and the gags and everything, and a lot of it doesn't need a lot of editorial heavy lifting or anything like that. You know, all I could do as an editor is, you know, just clean a few things up. It's got to be there, and that's never been a problem. And now for something completely abhorrent.
Regulators, you regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good too, but you can't be any geek off the street. You gotta be handy with the steal, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up! It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the street, trying to consume some skirts for the eve, so I can get some bump. Just rolling in my ride, chilling all alone.
Just hit the east side of the LBC, on a mission trying to find Mr. Warren G. Seen a car full of girls, ain't no need to tweet. All you skirts know what's up with 213.
So I hooks a left on 2-1 and Lewis, some brothers shooting dice, so I said, let's do this. I jumped out the ride and said, what's up? Some brothers pulled some gas, so I said, I'm stuck.
Since these girls peeping me, I'm gonna glide and swerve. These fuckers looking so hot, they straight hit the curb. Won't you think of better things than this horny trick? See my homie and some suckers all in this mix.
I'm getting jacked, I'm breaking myself. I can't believe they're taking Lindy's wealth. They took my rings, they took my Rolex. I looked at the brother, said, damn, what's next?
Yeah, my homie hemmed up and they all around, ain't none of them going straight pound for pound. I gotta come up real quick before they start to clown. I best pull out my strap and lay them busters down.
They got guns to my head, I think I'm going down. I can't believe it's happening in my own town. If I had wings, I would fly. Let me contemplate. Glanced in the cut and I see my homie Nate.
16 in the clip and 1 in the hole. Nate Dogg is about to make some bodies turn cold. Now they dropping and yell, it's a tad bit late. Nate Dogg and Warren G had to regulate. Bust is down, I let my gat explode. Now I'm switching my mind back into freak mode. If you want skirts, sit back and observe. I just left a gang of those over there on the curb.
Now they got the freaks, and that's a known fact. Before I got jacked, I was on the same track. Back up, cause it's on. N-A-T-E and me, the Warren to the G.
Just like I thought, they were in the same spot. In need of some desperate help. The Nate Dogg and the G-Child were in need of something else. One of them dames was sexy as hell. I said, ooh, I like your size. She said, my car's broke down and you seem real nice. Would you let me ride? Got a car full of girls and it's going real swell. The next stop is the East Side Motel. Tweaking into a whole new era. G-Funk, step to this, I dare ya. Funk on a whole new level. Rhythm is the bass and the bass is the treble. Chords, strings, we brings melody. G-Funk, where rhythm is life and life is rhythm. If you know like I know, you don't wanna step to this. It's the G-Funk era, funked out with a gangster twist. You smoke like I smoke, get high like every day. And if your ass is a buster, 213 will regulate.